You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Razor Riffs. Beautiful Wednesday. I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Alan Lee.
Hello, how's everyone doing tonight?
Yeah, and a beautiful guest, yes. Ida Rodriguez.
Our first female.
Her first female. I tend to be that on a lot of these shows.
Oh, well, really? Fantastic.
Yes.
Look at that.
Well, it's weird because like my friend who watches the podcast, he's like, you got to get some ladies on it to keep us interested. And you know what I mean? I was like, I'm not friends with a lot of very funny lady comedians. I wrote Ida, and Ida said, and she'll do it. And Ida's been very busy with the Last Comic Standing stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do that. You know,
the
show.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, let's talk about Last Comic Standing for 1 second, because as you know, I was tweeting the show, you know.
Yes, you were.
I was tweeting the show like crazy.
You supported us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I made some, you know, comments about comics. I got, you know, some crap about, because like I was like, oh, good joke from the internet or something, you know. And I was tweeting the entire series. And then when Ida went on, first of all, I knew you were going to make the top 10. But when you got eliminated, I thought for sure you'd make the top 5.
Thank you.
You know, but when you got eliminated, I didn't think it was very fair, because JB Smooth, I didn't feel, did a good job warming people up.
Right.
Cool. You know, and then you had to go up first. Right? You went up first on that.
No, I actually, well, they changed it.
On the show.
Yeah.
It made it seem like you went up first. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the crowd was like, you know, because on a host, you got to get everyone into the mood for it. I just didn't think that was very fair. You know, did JB like do stand up before he brought everyone up?
You know, he did. He was funny, being funny. I wouldn't call it a traditional stand up, you know, because you're a comic, you know. It was just more of him being host funny.
Yeah.
And it was so much work for him. And the crowd was not as responsive. We had so many other crowds that I think were Last Comic Standing audiences. That was like a typical improv audience.
Yeah.
Oh. And so they were just not as warm as the audiences that we had prior.
At the theater and stuff.
Yeah, you know, they were just...
Because the theater, the audience seemed like they were liking every joke.
Well, they were Last Comic Standing audiences. They were people who wanted to be... But I think that was like a real improv crowd.
Yeah.
And so then there is the battle that we have as comics, which I had going into Last Comic Standing, was the reel of comedy versus being on a reality show, which is somewhat not respected, because it is a reality show.
Yeah.
So there was kind of that thing in the audience, like, these are reality show comics, so they really have to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, we have makeup and hair and wardrobe. And
I kind of knew, like, some of it was a little acted out, because I'm friends with Rocky Laborde. Mm. And Rocky's the nicest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. And like when they made him say like mean stuff, I was like, Rocky would never say that stuff.
Oh, interesting.
You know, but I know like on the show that you and Jimmy, what's his last name?
Schubert.
You guys kind of got heated into it a little, you know, tension. And I'm sure Jimmy's the nicest guy, but I mean, it's like, I know you. I know you would never like, you know, cause that reaction.
No, actually, and you know, and I think everybody will have... Everyone has the greatest defense for themselves, you know what I mean? But I'm kind of a reactionary person. Like, I really, because I'm such a loner, like, you know, and I think that was one of the things that I kind of like, that why I was drawn to you at Brea, was because I kind of operate in a space where I'm like, I'm not really in tune with everything that's going on around me, because I don't want to be. Not because I'm not able to be, but I kind of like staying in my own zone, because when I go out into the comedy world, I have to prove myself all the time. Mm-hmm. Being a woman of color, I play more mainstream rooms. Mm-hmm. So I have a different journey. So I'm not really that, you know, I'm not that vocal.
I hate to interrupt you, but we have a caller.
Okay.
Here we go.
So let's answer this call, and then we'll get back to your story.
Absolutely.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are
Hi.
You?
Hi.
Who's this?
Hey, I'm doing well. This is Joey Jett in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi,
hey, Joey.
How
are you doing, Joey?
Hey, guys. How's everything going tonight? You guys are in L.A., I assume.
We certainly are.
We are, man. First time watching
Arizona.
The show. We're a fan of Ida.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to Hollywood, but I definitely have had some really good times in Hollywood.
Oh, cool, man.
Great.
So are you fans of the show or are you fans of Ida?
Well, I'm a fan of the show. Ida is new to me, but you know, I like to dive into new things like that, and I was hoping to learn a little bit more about Ida.
Oh, well, that's what we're about to get into.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. Is she into the music industry or?
I'm a stand-up comedian.
A stand-up comedian. Okay, that's cool.
I would make you so mad if I sang to you. You'd be so upset with me.
I love it. Always like, I'm a fan of the show. Yeah, are you in the music community?
Are you in the music industry?
Well, we are.
I'm a local artist here in Arizona, but you know, working on going national. Ida, have you ever been to the Tempe Improv?
I have. I performed there a couple of years ago. I did a big show there. It was sold out.
Tempe's the best improv in the country.
I love that place.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's great. That's great news. The Tempe Improv was really cool. I saw Jamie Kennedy there.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Well, you should see Ida when she's there. Very
funny.
Yeah,
exactly. I know.
Where are you in Arizona?
Phoenix.
Phoenix. Okay.
What's that?
I said, where are you in Arizona? And Keith just told me you are calling from Phoenix.
Yes, yes. I live in downtown Phoenix myself.
Great.
Are you on social media?
Yes, I sure am. I'd love to tell everyone and the listeners about it, you know, but it's all about Ida. But yeah, I'm on social media. I just started a new campaign. Am I allowed to say my Twitter on the show, guys?
Sure. Why not?
Absolutely.
Why not? All right. Well, everyone can follow me for no reason at all. My Twitter is at Joey Jett Sky High. And, you know, I'll say it again. It's Joey Jett Sky High. That's JoeyJettSkyHigh. And,
that's kind of a long Twitter name.
I know. I know, isn't it?
I mean, Well, Joey, best of luck to you, man. We're getting another call, so we gotta hang up.
Hey, thanks for calling
in. Make
sure
you tweet us your music so we can hear your stuff.
Yeah, we'll retweet it, buddy.
All right.
Bye. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for talking. Bye, Ida.
Bye, honey.
All right, I was just kidding. We don't have another call. I just wanted to talk to Ida. But that was weird, man. He calls and asks us a question, then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in music.
Right. You see, these artists, we're all promoting ourselves.
Okay, so we were talking about Last Comic Standing. Roseanne loved you. You know, she said that you were going to win the whole thing. And then when you got eliminated, it was like kind of a – it's like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? Because, like, I predicted you'd be top five. I think I wanted Rocky to win the whole thing only because he was my friend.
Right, that's honest. That's
but, cool. You know.
And Rocky's been doing stand-up for 25 years.
Yeah.
I had only been doing stand-up for 6 years at the time.
And that's, like, awesome.
Yeah, I was the person in the competition who had been doing –
a great accomplishment, six
years. Yeah, it was great for me. I had been doing stand-up the least amount of time. And I just think that, you know, it was just interesting for me because of my brand of humor. I'm a little bit edgier.
Yeah.
Not as, you know, and I think that kind of played against me when it came to the time, when it came to the head-to-head. Rodman's a little bit more cheery and, you know, laugh at me. I like to deal with, like, real issues. You know, you deal with some real stuff in your life.
Yeah, Ida brought up the show we did at Brea. I didn't even know you were on the show. I guess you just came in, and then I guess you caught my stand-up, and then we just talked in the green room, and, you know, it was cool. But it's kind of weird because, like, I totally agree. I think you and I kind of connect because we're about, you know, because I have Asperger's, and that's what my comedy is.
Yeah,
you know?
Talk about your life.
Yeah, and that's what your comedy is. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you're not afraid to tackle an issue that is – you know, it's a real issue. It's a real thing here. And first of all, you're an example to people who have Asperger's that, you know, life goes on and you can accomplish what you want to, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you're openly talking about something that a lot of people need permission to have a joke about, because it's so stressful not to be able to just bottle that up and live in this political correctness all the time.
Jerry Seinfeld mentioned that today.
Jerry Seinfeld has autism now.
I found that was interesting.
No.
Yeah. But see, that was weird because, like, I sent my DVD to a manager, and he said that he won't represent me because no one wants to hear a comic talk about having autism for 45 minutes.
That's a lie.
Yeah, and that, like, hurt me, and that lowered my self-esteem because I don't think I'm, like, there's no rules in comedy, you know? I don't believe comedy is subjective. I think it's what's funny is funny to everyone.
When people go to comedy shows, they don't go to comedy shows to listen to anyone talk about autism or single motherhood or being black or being gay. They go to laugh.
Exactly.
So, and then they go to experience different people and their different point of views.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know why where this school of thinking comes from, that everybody wants to sit down and see everybody talk about the same exact thing.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like boring.
It is boring.
Because on a normal comedy show, there's maybe four comics. You got an MC, an opener, a feature, and a headliner.
Right.
You know, that's enough time. And on all those four, they all talk about different.
Of course.
And that's what I think makes the comedy show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I would definitely go see a show from an autistic comedian that is talking about his experience for 4 hours. Just like I go watch Lewis Black rant about what he's mad about in the world for an hour.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And definitely.
Yeah, and I go listen to Chris Rock talk about the state of black people in America.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there's no rules in comedy, and that's why, like, I'm very fond of your humor, because it's kind of like you're saying
it's real.
Yeah, you're real, and you're just saying, you know what? I don't care what people think. I'm sticking to who I am.
Absolutely. I want to be, you know, I want to just talk about the things that are real for me. And I think you stick to what you're talking about. And I think those are the things that make you stand out.
Yeah.
Because what they want to see is somebody who has a clear point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you having the point of view for people who have autism is a great champion for the people who have autism. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, like Sam, what's Sam? Comroe is
Tourette's.
He has Tourette's.
Yeah.
So people go watch Sam talk about having Tourette's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people go listen to lesbians talk about being a lesbian for an hour.
Exactly.
So it's just, you go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And that was the best thing that that agent could have said to you, because that just means that that was not the right agent for you.
Exactly. Yeah, and it kind of hurt because this agent books a lot of improv shows. So,
but we all feel that. I mean, yeah, I've been rejected.
Rejection is part of a...
Yeah, you're probably like one of the best success, you know, rejection stories, because I mean, I don't mean that as a mean way. I mean,
I don't
that
think it, you mean it as a mean, but
because
it's true.
I remember when we were at the improv, you know, you were really struggling, and you know, you were like, "Oh, I just want to make people laugh and like no one's giving me the chance." And then like you went on Last Comic Standing and it seems like you're finally getting what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like I just think that's incredible because, like, not a lot of people know this, but you're also a writer.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And, like, I heard you wrote your very first movie and you starred in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's like saying, hey, this is my dream. I'm doing what it takes, you know, even if I have to write it. And I think that's very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, writing is my first love. And in light of what I see, specifically with what's going on with women in media right now, and I aim to really emphasize to women to embrace the things about themselves that have more depth and that come from a place of substance, like being an intellectual creature and being someone that has, you know, I always try to draw my strength from those things that people can't see, because there's going to be a day where I'm going to be 70 and I'm not going to be, you know, by the standards of what attractive is attractive. And I want my confidence to come from a real place.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important. And writing gives me that. Writing gives me the opportunity, and it gives me...
Gives you an escape. Yeah.
I have... It just... I live... When I write, I exist in a different realm, and it gives me power.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that power is that my computer gives me the power that no makeover could ever give me.
Yeah.
And so I really
it's
feel
it's a true expression. I mean, it's you coming out on the page no yes. matter what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a writer, so.
I certainly am.
Alan Lee is a great writer.
I appreciate that compliment. I just hope some of it gets published.
Have you ever thought about writing a book?
I am working on it.
You're working on a book?
I've been working on it for a long time.
Is
it a memoir or a genre? Or? A
well, no, I'm right now I'm working on a coffee table book, but it's comedy. It's a comedy book.
Nice.
And it's an expression that needs to be, it's something that needs to be expressed.
Yeah.
I have to get this out, but I definitely want to write a story about my family because... My mom's story and my grandmother's story are stories that I think because of them I'm able to do what I do. And their lives were amazing and the things that they had to overcome
sure.
and endure. So I definitely want, but I want to do it in a novel form.
Oh, that'd be yeah. cool. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write a novel and it's just so hard because I'm still young and I don't have a lot of stories to sell. You know what I mean? So like I'm on chapter 3. But it's already like 98 pages.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
But, you know, with Asperger's, you're just really, like, that's all I do. Like, I'm just focused. I'm, like, you know, just writing away. And the thing is, like, I don't know how the future is. You know, like, I want to be successful as a comic, you know, mm-hmm. so I could get this book out there. But I also want to do kind of like what you did. I want to write my way in if I have to, if that's right. what it takes.
And you will.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
And you know that is also something that makes you unique,
huh.
and it makes you stand out. And being able to write is just you don't understand
how much power it gives
you.
It's a wonderful gift of expression.
Well, when you wrote your movie and you know you got it, you know, green lighted and stuff, were you like, yes, I finally did it? Because I know you worked really hard just on writing it.
Yeah,
and then to star in it.
It was so much work, and I slept very little. The funny thing is I wrote the movie, I took it to a distribution house, they read the script, and they gave me distribution before I shot it.
Wow.
So nice. That was the pressure.
Nice.
And then I took that to an investor, and then he gave me the money to shoot it. And then I went on tour, and I went overseas, and I went to Korea, because I had to pay my own bills. And then when I returned... I left the airport and went straight to the set and then shot for 3 weeks straight
wow.
without even, no even turnaround time to adjust to
wow.
the time change because I had to get the movie finished so that I could get it to the distributor in time.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was a good experience. Actually, I wrote 3 films and then I shot another one right after that. And then I had written another movie that was also produced and distributed by Maverick. I wasn't in it, but I wrote it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and now I'm working on another script now because
awesome.
I haven't had time. But now
Fantastic.
That I'm on the road, that's what I want to do.
That's great. And
well,
she's on the plane writing. And
I hope there's a part for an autistic comedian in this one.
A struggling writer.
That's a good one. The struggling writer.
Sometimes comic.
Sometimes comic. Another question I wanted to ask you is like, because I tried to audition for Last Comic Standing. I sent in my video. I never heard back from them. Now, how did... Because I know some guys had agents that got on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, were you one of those that got in through the email? Or did you like have to beg through your agent to get a... you know?
Well, I didn't have an agent at the time.
Yeah.
So when I got in, my manager at the time had sent an email to the producers. And... I was on a list of people I think that they wanted to see. There were other people who had referred me. Also, there was a shortage on Latino women.
Yeah.
You know, and so so I got in through, you know, it wasn't easy.
Like, oh, no. Yeah.
It wasn't easy at all. So, like, those people who said it was a breeze for them and they just got in through, I don't think so. Because I think that Wanda and Paige won, you know, a very fair ship.
Yeah.
And they really... wanted to be different than the other seasons. So they were very, very judicious about the process and as fair as they could possibly be because they wanted to make sure that there were no questions about, you know, there was no questions about the integrity of the show.
Yeah.
Because there had been questions in the past, which is why they allowed the judges to make all the decisions.
And honestly, I think the judges on this season were the best, because I'm a huge Last Comic Standing fan. I've watched the entire show.
Oh, you have?
Okay. Yeah. We actually had Dav Pham on this thing. He was a real pleasure to interview.
He was a blast. He really was.
Yeah. But anyways,
I
thought.
I thought he was a blast. I don't know why.
I might be a little sarcastic, but whatever. But
I follow him on Instagram, and he follows me.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
He has some
great
of the guy. Best memes he posts.
No, he's a great guy. Just like when I'd ask him questions about the show and like how to get it, he just kind of like dance around that answer. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And about
like,
the show?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like just because I want to be on Last Comic Standing. I write an email. What are the chances the producers are going to read it and respond? You know what I mean?
And what did he say?
Then, like, I beat Ralphie May. Like, that's all. It was kind of.
And he did.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the thing. But see, I totally agree because, like, I think the judges on. I hope they return for next season because I love Roseanne. Mm-hmm. I think being a female comic is one of the hardest things because. You know, there's a lot of female comics and you do stand up, you know this. It seems like most of them, not saying all, I'm saying most of them rely on, you know, vagina jokes, period jokes, stuff like that. And that's not funny to me because the truth is I don't have a vagina.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, you know what I mean?
Well, it's no different than when I have to go to a club and see five guys go up and talk about their penises
those are the comics I don't like
the
either.
Low common denominator comics. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that there are several female comics who and you know it just shows how green they are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like it shows how inexperienced they are and how what a lack of seasoning, if you will, you know, that they haven't found their voices yet. And that they find that, and that I find that a lot with newer comedians, whether they're female or male, they usually resort to the fart jokes.
But sometimes you have a Natasha Leggero who just doesn't do that. And, you know, you have Willis Lenora.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that. So you have
they're the exception.
Yeah, they are the exception, they are out there.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's hard enough to make a living at comedy, you know? Regardless, male or female, but I think it's even harder with the female because of that.
It's tough. I think they have it tough.
And I think also that you also only get to see the ones who get the opportunities because there is an ocean of female comedians who you don't even know about.
Yeah,
That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Jackie Fabulous, who was on the Brea show.
Oh yeah, she was.
I think she's hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, I would pay to go see Jackie Fabulous because she doesn't talk about that stuff. You know, she has real joke structures.
Right.
And that's the, you know, but it's like, again, she's in that ocean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there are quite a few. And, you know, I mean, I was in Florida working. I was working on the Shaq Comedy All-Star Tour. We had a date in Miami. And I got to go do a guest set on Maz Jobrani's show.
Yeah.
And the night before Maz's show started, they had a weekend. They had a Last Comic Standing audition. And there was this young woman from North Carolina that drove to Florida to audition. And she was probably one of the funniest comedians I have ever seen. Like, she was so funny. Huh. And I just know that she got a call back because she was just great. She was so funny. And when I tour, like, I go all over the place, and I'll see, when I was in Columbus, I did the Funny Bone a couple of weeks ago, and one of the girls that got a call back on Last Comic Standing came and did a guest set on our show, and she was really funny and very smart. I just think that, you know, that where we are in media, like, all of that stuff, dirty comedy and shock value comedy, mm-hmm. gets a lot of play because it's controversial and it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So I think that, unfortunately, what happens is that the people who aren't doing that stuff are not getting the shots because they think people don't want to watch a girl talk about science for an hour. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, and I think it's sad.
It is sad.
Because, honestly...
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful it'll change.
I do a lot of shows, and, you know, I know very funny comedians, but then I know very funny female comedians, but then, like, I look at their humor and stuff, I was like, in a way, I can see, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sad because, like, if a girl would just go on and talk about, you know, working at a restaurant instead of, you know.
No, it makes me angry.
Yeah, it's like, to me, you want to make your male audience happy in front of the female audience as well. Mm-hmm. And same with guys. When guys talk about, you know, penis jokes and stuff, I think some of them, if they're written clever, I think it could work because I think ladies know how to, what it's like to have that. But I think if, you know, just doing it all the time, it's like you're taking the art out of it.
Yeah, and I think the unfortunate thing, and a feminist will probably get mad at me for this, but the reality of it is that we're wired differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's nature, you know, the whole nature versus nurture. I don't know if it's because, you know, you guys have been, were born perverts or you've been socialized to be perverts. Yeah. But I think that the problem is that when a man talks about sex on stage, most of the time women don't become aroused because it isn't, that's not where we go to.
Yeah.
But when women talk about it, men, because men think about sex so much, it's like what?
It's like once every 9 seconds or something.
So when you
have you been counting the seconds in the show?
No, that I read that on a Snapple
very
fact.
Good.
Yeah. So now you're in.
You know how they have those. Oh, man,
see, you just proved what she said.
No, but the thing, no, I totally agree with you. But
and I tell women all the time, specifically when they want to dress, they want to be a little bit more provocative in their dress. Like, you know, go ahead.
No, excuse me. Go ahead.
I just think, I think you have to be funny. Like when I did last Comic Standing,
you were funny.
I had a set.
Yeah.
So me having a dress on had nothing, would not affect my set. But if I had done that maybe some years before when I wasn't ready,
yeah.
I would have crumbled on stage because I wouldn't be able to carry the dress because I didn't have the substance. And you know what I mean? And I think that women have to, you know, we have to, it's an unfair battle, but it's still our battle.
I think there's such a huge place. I mean, maybe you guys don't remember Phyllis Diller.
I love Phyllis
Remember
Diller.
Phyllis Diller? And even early, well, I love Joan Rivers.
Of course. You know, and Carol Burnett and Carol Lucille Burnett. Ball and Rita
There's
Rudner.
There's a lot of women that you know.
My favorite female comic of all time was Roseanne, which is why I think she was the best.
She's great.
And I'm not just saying this, you know, because I'm sucking up because she retweeted a tweet we're mentioned. I'm saying this because, you know, I think she was great for a show because she was born in a stand-up. You know what I mean?
Roseanne is the epitome.
Yeah.
Excuse me, of the comedian's dream. Roseanne took her life and put it into stand-up, created an act that was a reflection of herself and a group of unheard people, like the domestic goddess.
Correct.
She took that and made it an act that was
an icon, almost iconic.
She is an icon. No. She took that act and made it adored by the nation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Turned it into a TV show that was a reflection of the stand-up, which was a reflection of her life, and that was a hit.
That was,
and I think I think,
and that's a comedian's dream.
Yeah, and to get a compliment from Roseanne saying you could win the whole thing, you could get a TV show, like that's
the compliments that I got from Roseanne beyond what you saw.
Yeah,
were just she. She gave me like spiritual CPR.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Prior to last Comic Standing, I was really discouraged because I kept like trying to, because I wasn't going to change who, I'm not going to change who I am. So my comedy,
I feel the
wasn't
same way. Like,
and I kept trying to break in and I kept trying to get work. And for me, like, my goal has never been to be one of the cool kids. You know, my goal was to just let me do what I love to do. Give me a space. There's so many other spaces, and you're giving the same kind of people the opportunity to do the same kind of thing. Let me do what I do. I don't want anything other than to work for what I want. And so when she, you know, she kind of gave me the validation that I needed from someone who had done what I want to do. Yeah. And she was edgy, and she was truthful. And, you know, she went out there, and she pressed the buttons. Sure. And she gave me back, you know, my mojo.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, see, I love Roseanne from her stand-up, but I also love her on two other reasons. One, she's married to Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
And Tom Arnold is one of my heroes because he has Asperger's.
Okay.
He is probably one of the most famous stand-up comedian with Asperger's.
I did not know that.
So, you know, that's like, you know, Tom Arnold, you know, I see his shows and stuff. And then two, Roseanne gave my hero his start, Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Norm wrote for Roseanne. So, like, I think Roseanne was a good choice because she knows what funny is.
She does. And she knows that funny is not just one thing.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You know?
Exactly.
And if you could see that in the show, yeah. Like, more from her than anybody else, that she was able to appreciate the different styles of comedy and understand, you know, that everybody is not the same.
No.
And I liked Russell Peters, too. I thought he was a great great judge because he's like the new king of comedy right now. You know what I mean? So I thought that was cool that you get him on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only judge I wasn't too thrilled was Keenan. Yeah, because because he was sketch comedy. He wasn't really, he did a little stand-up, but his expertise was sketch. Mm-hmm. You know, so when he was giving people, it's like, I just want to listen to Russell and Roseanne. Maybe mm-hmm. get another, like Joan Rivers, I think, would have been a cool judge.
She was awesome. Did you see her on there, though? Because she was with Tammy.
Oh.
And she was a guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, I think Tammy was like, not Tammy, it was Lynn. And she was like, do you think I should do the show? She was like, of course you should do it. So your career's in the toilet. And then she came back later and said, I think I could win this. Oh. And she was like, I need to be on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. That must have been so cool. And then, so you did the Shaq tour, too. Did you meet Shaquille O'Neal?
No, I met him before. I didn't meet him on the tour. I picked up some dates with them, which was, you know.
Wait, you picked up some dates with Shaq?
With the tour.
Oh.
No, I was joking. That 9 seconds came right into my mind immediately.
No. No. No, look, I was going to say, I dated. And I was like, no.
Dates on the tour.
The comedy dates. Yeah, I picked up some dates. I did Seattle, Miami, Tampa. Yeah. I did a Pleasanton and Tommy T's with them.
Yeah. That's a great club.
You've been up there,
haven't you?
Yeah, I like Tommy T's. I love that place. We did 4th of July weekend, your birthday, this year, and it was packed. But
really?
Yeah, it was great. It was flattering to be on that show because there are so many legends on the show. But they wanted to bring some diversity to the show. And so with Gary Owen, who's white, and myself, who's Latina,
Gary Owen,
they brought some diversity to the show. And it was great because I got to work with people that have been doing stand-up for 25 years.
Yeah.
To my sixth.
Wow. So, well, that's where you learn the most.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know when I do shows with, like, I do shows with Norm or something, you know, I learn more just watching him and just talking with him because, you know, he gives you that point of view.
Yeah, it's
and, I mean, you've worked with a lot of people, too, you know.
I every time I think about Norm, I think about him on the roast with his newspaper.
Yeah.
But April Macy is a really good friend of mine, and she loves Norm MacDonald. And I think he's awesome. I think I appreciate his humor so much, and I guess it makes me happy when I see
someone. We were down in San Diego for one of his shows, and he put Keith up, and I learned so much just hanging in the green room with him. You know,
he's so smart.
Yeah, isn't it funny? He was teaching for no reason at all. I was saying, he's about to go on, and we're going, you don't have to teach me anymore. You're about to go on. Well, and he just goes on. It was the funniest thing. That it alone was so giving, you know.
Yeah.
Well, here's why I like Norm so much, and it's because he's my comedy father.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like, I love him. Like, even when I do a bad show, I'll call him or – he never picks up, but, you know, I'm telling him how I'm doing and
stuff.
Dad does
not
pick
up too often, but he's
busy. But I love him with all my heart, and I'll do anything for him.
Aww.
And it's because he's just like me, except he doesn't have Asperger's.
Right.
You know, he doesn't care what people think. You know,
he's an authentic guy.
He gets down sometimes, but you know what? He comes back up with humor.
Right.
And that's what I think is the coolest thing about Norm. Yeah. And I also love Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon hates me.
No, he can't hate you.
No, I told you I would tell you a Kevin Nealon story. And I brought up Kevin Nealon because I saw you on the Kevin Nealon show.
Oh, yeah.
And that was before Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, it was. He gave me a shot.
Yeah.
Because most of the people on that show, they tend to go for bigger names.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you're hilarious. And then, you know, he was interviewing you. And
yeah, we had fun.
We listened to that on the way over.
Yeah, we did.
It was good.
But
I had fun with him.
Yeah, Kevin Nealance, he seems like he's just a smart guy, too.
He is really smart. Tell and him. I like his show. What I love about his show is I think some more comedians should take advantage of the thing that his show is called New Material Tuesday.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yes.
And a lot of people go up there and do their
old stuff.
Yeah, all their hitters because they're afraid to fail. But like I actually worked out a new joke on that show that I ended up doing on Last Comic Standing, and I had done it for the first time on Kevin's show.
Wow, that's.
And it was, it was just interesting that he let me just rock. I had fun with him.
Well, see, I always had a dream because, like, I'd love to do that show. I'd love to work with Kevin Nealon. I saw Kevin at the Improv in Irvine once, and I collect autographs with my Asperger's and stuff. It's weird. So I asked him for an autograph, and he gave it to me. He was super cool about it. And then I remember hearing Kevin Nealon's son has autism. So I'll say, hey, I'm autistic too. So I say that, and Kevin just looks at me. He's like, good for you. Like, he had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, your son, he's autistic. I'm autistic, too. He's like, my son's not autistic. Oh. So, like, he just looked at me. I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry, Kevin, but your son is autistic. It says on the Google, you know, like, I'm trying to prove to him.
Oh, no.
He's like, then he looks at me. He's like, I'm not John Travolta.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, Kevin Nealon hates me because I basically called his new son. You know, I was like, ugh.
He doesn't hate you, though.
Oh, I'm sure. He probably doesn't even remember, but I just remember. I was like, ugh, I don't even want to audition for a show because I'm going to bring that up. Well, and, you know, he's going to be like.
It's on Google, you say?
Yeah.
No, well, I don't think he hates you.
No, but the thing about Google, what's so dangerous is people could make up information.
Yeah. And, you know, even with Wikipedia, like. Mine has, like, I don't know who don't, did that.
Yeah.
You know,
they just make donations.
It said you were married to a charger?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's kind of... Was he
no,
a good...
No, but it's just weird. Like, on IMDb, I was born in the Dominican Republic, but on Wikipedia, I was born in Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, you were born in Boston.
I was born in Boston.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it... You
the
know.
Wikipedia came from, the Dominican Republic.
IMDb that, said that.
IMDb
says
that.
Says
oh,
that I was
heaven
born.
Sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really funny because it's, you know, I don't care. I don't like chase that stuff. So
yeah,
and I don't make any. It is what it is. But they're gonna say whatever they want to say anyway. Like those are the people that live on the internet that dictate that stuff. So
yeah,
as long as it's not too crazy.
Yeah, no.
There's some there's some crazy stuff out there on the internet though. Because like on the internet on one site, I know you probably know this, but people will review your stand-up.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? I forgot the site.
What site is that?
I don't remember the exact site, so you can't quote me, but there's sites that people will go watch stand-up, and then they'll go on, and they'll review.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
these
stand-up.
Are real comedy
real
people
comedy.
That just want to, maybe it's other comics. Maybe it's other comics we don't even
I'm
know.
I'm sure it is.
I hate those people.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, because it's like, no. You're reviewing me. It seems like
and
you're...
you've never been on a stage.
Yeah, you're reviewing me. It seems like you're not watching the show. You're more concentrating on your Yelp review.
Yeah.
Right. Are they probably the ones who think the landing on the moon was faked?
It was fake.
Wasn't it?
I'm yeah.
sorry.
Of course.
I mean, didn't you see that movie with Matthew McConaughey?
There you go. All these years I've been fooled.
Anyways, so someone wrote a review about me, a bad review about me, and they said I was the meanest guy in the world.
No kidding.
I was like, that, I
no
mean,
way.
I don't talk to people after shows, but I'm never like mean. Like no one really asks me for an autograph or a picture, but occasionally they do.
No.
I always say yes, but I don't like.
Well, mean
you
is not
I mean?
Something that anyone would carry away
yeah,
from you.
It's like,
I don't think so.
No.
But yeah, well, but it's like
no,
imagine you reading something about you saying, oh, Ida's the
oh,
meanest.
I've heard, I mean, that one of the things when we did Last Comic Standing, they told us do not read any of the boards. Like they said, stay away from the boards.
Oh.
But
because
but you always read them.
Because they can be mean.
Yeah.
You know what? I did not. And only because I was getting a lot of, prior to, I had a video that went viral that was on like Last Comic that was done through the Laugh Factory. And I got a lot of hate on the internet.
Yeah.
And someone wished my death. Like, they, it got to a point where they were like, I hope you die, you know. So I kind of, like, made a decision to stay away from that kind of stuff because it, even if you get 10 good comments and somebody tells you, I hope you die, as a human being.
That ruins the 10.
Yeah, you get, you're affected by it.
Wow.
And so for me, it's like, I just stay away from that. I think it's so, it's so interesting to me. Most people that review comedy will would never ever get on a stage and tell jokes in front of strangers.
Sort of it's like one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
But I totally agree. I think the internet's scary because, like, you know, people will write something mean. You'll think about, like, my I'm friends with a Josh Childress. He's a basketball player. He used to play for the Hawks, and he just got into an incident because he's in Australia. I guess he punched a guy or whatever. Anyways, he got all this Twitter hate. Yeah. About, you know, and they were, like, you know, being racist on
him. They bullied him.
Yeah, they bullied him, and he had to delete his Twitter account.
The event, this fight he had, they went crazy on him.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean.
Yeah. So he deleted his Twitter?
Josh deleted his Twitter, but he only deleted it because of the threats he was getting.
Well, that's
and it's like, you know, this government that we have, you know, they're so, I just think it's sad how they act like they take threats seriously, but when it's getting attacked on, like, a public figure or something, they just say,
yeah,
it's part of the job.
Yeah, and it's part of the job, and...
But it's, like, safety. It's still a safety issue. You know what I mean?
No, and I get the weirdos. I get so many of them. So I'm not, you know, I don't read, like, my Facebook messages. I have somebody kind of filtering through them. Because...
That you have someone filtering.
Because I'm not good with... I want to believe in the good of all in the good
we
of all,
all
people.
Do.
And my problem is that I sometimes I just think that it's okay. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But sometimes because I come from that mindset, it is a big
deal.
It's disappointing. And I'm just not,
it's always a disappointment.
Yeah. So I stay away from it. And now I don't, you know, I don't give a, I really don't care like what I, this guy sent me like the meanest email and I put it on, he put the meanest comment on my blog when I wrote the blog addressing the haters on Last Comic Standing, and it was mean. It was a comedian, but what I thought was very interesting was that he did not put his name on the review, on the comment. It was
kind of cowardly. If you're going to attack, especially if you're a comic,
yeah,
it's like, you know, start a feud, you know, keep at it, but don't like just write. You know what I mean?
It was charged with really angry stuff, and then he said that you know, I would be a bar comic at best, and you know I was
I get
never
that
gonna,
all that time.
I was never gonna make it, and then but this is beyond all of that, just evolving as a human being. Like I read this book called The Four Agreements, and I kind of live by it. And the second agreement is never take anything personal.
I like that
because most things that people, well, everything that someone projects or says to you has nothing to do with you.
No.
Yeah,
it's their own projection of whatever's going on with them.
Yeah.
That's great advice. I mean, I wish I could take it, but I don't see it like
they always
that.
Just say
of
you,
course.
You,
like but you should read the book.
Yeah, I definitely will. But like the thing is, when someone says something to me, I take it personal.
We all do. That's
all
why.
But there's a visceral, immediate reaction.
We got like another call. Like we were just about to play Who Wrote Jokes. All right, one sec.
Okay.
We'll take a phone call for Ida Rodriguez.
They're calling for you.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is John. I was asking about, you have a new movie coming out or anything?
Ida, do you have a new movie coming out?
hi, John. How are you?
Hello, John.
I'm doing good.
I'm working on developing some stuff for television right now, but I am working on a script for a new film. That I'm going to make myself like I did my life. I like making my own movies. I like independent film.
Great, great.
Where are you calling from?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Look at that.
Texas.
Ida was just in Texas. Weren't you just there?
Yeah. Did you see Ida's show?
No.
I'm sorry?
Did you see Ida's stand-up?
Did you catch her in Texas?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Next time she's in town, you should see it. She's the funniest. Nobody funnier.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So, any other questions, John?
No, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, buddy.
Thanks for the call,
thank
John.
Thank you, John.
Please call again.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Two calls in a row.
I tell you, we've got. She's
last week we had a phone call, and it turned out to be a fake phone call. Like it was one of Johnny LaCosta's girlfriends or something.
Oh yeah, she's I love Johnny. Though.
Yeah,
it was still a call.
At the end of the show, he reads me the text. It's like, how come you didn't talk on the phone? And it's like, and he's trying to act like it was, you know, see, whatever.
Yeah, we talk. Yeah.
Well, Ida, we're gonna play this game called Who Wrote Jokes.
Okay.
It's kind of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Instead of a question, I tell you a joke, four answers. You get to choose. You don't get any lifelines. There's no money involved.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
is there ever any money involved with anything?
Well,
you
know,
comedy?
We hope one day we'll be able
but
to
no,
compensate
but what,
you.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, in case you think you're going to get all the jokes right, there's not going to be like a, you know.
Oh, no.
So I don't want to. I just want it to be right.
It's not an easy game.
It's not. But it's not. Fun. But they're great it's jokes, fun. And I think the audience that listens to this likes it because you hear jokes. Now, we only could do a few because we only have about five more minutes. So we'll okay. do, we'll keep playing until you get one wrong, and then we'll, yeah, I'll give you maybe one.
I'm
all right,
probably going to get them all wrong because I don't know anybody's jokes but mine.
It's, really? It's fun, though.
I try to stay away from other people's stand-up.
See, she'll probably do very well.
Yeah, you'll do well because
she'll probably be excellent.
Matt Champagne knows nothing about stand-up jokes, who wrote jokes, and he got a lot of them right. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. My uncle was thrown out of a mime show for having a seizure. They thought he was heckling. Was it A, Vince Champ, B, Fred Stoller, C, Jeff Shaw, or D, Eddie Murphy?
That was not Eddie Murphy.
No.
Nope.
No, not Eddie.
Alan's just giving you advice like, yep, not Eddie.
Yeah, well, I'm going along with her choices. I'm telling you, she's going to get these right.
Is it Jeff Shaw?
Jeff Shaw.
Oh, bingo.
You got it right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. She's like, all right.
Way to go.
All right. Shakespeare said, kill all the lawyers. That's before they were agents. Was it A, Robin Williams, B, Billy Crystal, C, Whoopi Goldberg, or D, Jason Alexander?
That sounds like a Billy Crystal joke. Was that Billy Crystal or Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
Oh, Robin Williams.
Very close.
That was Robin
close.
Williams.
Yeah,
but she said Billy Crystal, so I can't.
So I was
really.
Wrong.
Your second choice was Robin Williams.
All right, this one's good. Naps are wonderful, aren't they? Sometimes I have to take a nap just to get ready for bed.
Oh, wait, who's that?
Well, I'm going to read the. Was it A, Roseanne, B, Joan Rivers, C, Marsha Wallfield, or D, Jane Hooks?
Oh, wait a minute. Who said that? Somebody. So many people have stolen that joke.
Yeah, but this is the one who wrote it like this.
Is that Roseanne?
No, it's Marsha Wallfield.
That was Marsha. Oh, somebody compared me to her. Mike Epps said that I reminded him of her.
Really?
See, I told you I don't keep up with jokes. I'm not the worst. Look, I only got one right.
That's funny. The one that she's similar to, she doesn't.
All right, we'll do the last one until you get it wrong.
Okay.
I gave my cat a bath the other day. He sat there. He enjoyed it. It was fun for me. The fur did stick to my tongue, but other than that, it was fun.
Oh!
Was it A, Tommy Chong, B, Norm Macdonald, C, Steve Martin, or D, Stephen Wright?
Okay, that was not, is that Norm Macdonald? No, that's not a Norm Macdonald joke. Wait, don't tell me, though.
No, don't.
I know I got it wrong, but don't tell me. That was not,
your
that's not
choice.
Tommy Chong.
She gets another shot. Oh.
You would think it is Tommy Chong, though.
It's one of the
doesn't really.
Yeah, no, that was, what are the other two choices?
Steve Martin or Stephen Wright?
Stephen Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that was Steve Martin.
Steve Martin,
oh,
yeah.
That's a silly joke.
Yeah,
I got that one right because of the cat.
Yeah,
that's you know, Steve Martin, the cats and the fur.
I think if I analyze the joke for what I know from the comic, but not because I know the material. Actively try to stay away from people's
that's good,
material.
No, that's a great thing to do.
Okay, we'll do one more.
Just do one more.
One more.
Fun.
Okay. This is a hard
the
one.
The only
though.
Game I lost.
I just had so much fun with this game.
Yesterday I was shaving and I cut my Adam's apple. I got apple juice everywhere. Was it A, Drake Sather, B, Super Dave Osborne, C, Jack Carter, or D, Bob Hope?
Was that Bob Hope?
No.
No.
I don't know who that is.
Drake Slater. Have you ever heard of Drake Slater?
I have.
Yeah.
I have. But like I said, I try to stay away
from comics. Sure. Well, that was, you know, he got one. That's
I got one right.
That's better than Dat Fam.
You know I'm not a joke.
Her second choice.
Dat Fam didn't want to play the game. Like, it was weird because like we played the game and I even put one of his jokes in there, and I told him the joke and he was like, "I don't want to play it." Like literally, like he was. I was like, "Oh, I guess we'll talk about karate or whatever." You know, it was like.
Well, so. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get my joke knowledge up so that when I come back next time,
Time, yeah,
thank you.
I know the jokes.
Well,
I just one of the few that volunteered to like study for a possible,
We gotta hope there is the next time. I mean, Sam, the director, I don't think is our biggest fan. He's always like walking in. He's all like, "When are the ratings gonna go up?" I don't know. It's like
It takes a while though. Yeah. It takes a few months to build a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's fun. It was a unique idea that I wanted to do, and yeah, you know, with Asperger's, like I think I'm very good at interviewing people.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
You're not bad.
So yeah,
you're not bad.
Well, and I think Alan's a perfect sidekick because all he does is
he says thank you,
thank
and
you.
I try to keep things happy. Little things a sidekick should do.
Well, you're headlining a show this weekend, right?
Yeah, we're in Tennessee at. Chattanooga at the Comedy Catch starting tomorrow. 6 shows, 1 tomorrow, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 1 Sunday. Come see me, buy your tickets. We're going to have a really good time. Great. The guy who's featuring for me is local, and I looked at his stuff. He's pretty funny, and we're going to have a good time.
All right. And you have a Twitter and a Facebook?
Absolutely. My Twitter, everything is Twitter, Instagram, and my website is Funny Aida, which is A-I-D as in David A. And then my Facebook is my name, but with a period in between the first name and the last name. Okay. So
Ida dot Rodriguez.
Oh.
So send me a message. Don't send me a message on Facebook. Just leave a comment.
Yeah.
And let's have fun.
Yeah. And then I'm Keith Reza at Keith Reza, R-E-Z-A. And check out your Ida. You're going to love this guy's Twitter.
And I'm Alan Lee at Alan Lee Commie, and I am not a communist.
That's like the greatest name. Oh, one more question before I go. Quick set. I don't think we have enough time.
Ask it.
I'll ask you off air. It's cool.
Okay. Are you sure it's at 7:55?
7:55.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to go. Okay. Sorry, guys. We'll ask next time for Ida.
Okay, guys. Right, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for coming on, Ida.
No, thank you for
Ida Rodriguez.
Support these guys and tell a friend to listen and watch.
Thank you so much.
There's nobody funnier than Ida, man.
No, we love you. Thank you, Ida.
I love you guys.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.